Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the TNJ Radio program. It's great to be with you another week, and we really appreciate you all tuning in and checking us out once again. I am T. Foster, your main man, and we have with us Jay Wells. How you doing, my brother?
I'm excellent, brother. Looking forward to today's show, man. I'm very excited about this.
Absolutely, man. Me too. So today we're going to be talking about, today's title is Press Pass, Black Folks in the Media. And it's something that we really wanted to talk about because we have so much access to so many different types of media, whether that be social media, whether that be video media in terms of CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, and things of that sort. And what we really want to do is talk about how we're viewed and how we can combat how we're viewed and what we're, you know, what our narrative is on these mediums. Because as we all know, our reputation as a people is not a positive one for the most part when it comes to the way we're perceived. And I think back to a tweet I saw a while back, and it said, name a positive stereotype about black people. And I remember reading that, and I was like, wow, I could think of some, but the choices were really, really slim picking. And then when I thought about the contrary of name a positive stereotype about white folks or Asian folks or any other ethnicity or racial group, the, you know, choices were almost endless. And so that's why we really felt that this was a topic that we wanted to approach because, as you know, TNJ Radio is solution-based radio, and we wanted to talk about not only the issues that we're facing but solutions as well. And the root of perception and the way the media views black folks really goes back a long way, all the way back to right around, I would say, 1830 or so, when they had the minstrel shows, which a lot of us are familiar with, when white folks had the opportunity to create an image for us that was not of our own doings, where they would go on stage and dress in, you know, blackface with the white around their lips and the red around their lips and get up there and dance and talk how they thought black people talked, which wasn't necessarily true. Or, you know, to a certain degree, it was true, but it was extremely exaggerated based upon the education level that our people had access to back in those days. And they started to create what became the media image and the media machine that shaped the way that we were viewed. And that minstrel show situation lasted a really long time. It can be traced all the way up to right around 1910. Which is pretty crazy because, you know, that's 80 years or so of them creating these images and false perceptions of what our people are, which is essentially uneducated, dancing, shucking and jiving, the inability to talk, you know, proper English or correct English and things of that sort. And they really laid the groundwork at that point in time for what would become your Fox News, your media takeouts, your all the stuff that we're going to get into later on. And so that really laid the groundwork for the conditions that are upon us right now. And with that in mind, Jay, when you think about black people in the media, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about just on the face value, black folks and how we're viewed, what comes to mind?
The very first thought, that, like with any media story, your very first thought is, uh-oh, what are they going to show us doing? And it kind of turns into a situation where we've already been programmed to believe that it's going to be something negative. And the media has created a situation where our activities are never, our positive activities are never brought to light, and they've made it almost to the point where anything that we're a part of that isn't what they want us to be doing is considered negative. And it goes, but you know, the common thing, like protesters are called agitators, or people can't have a peaceful protest without them talking about our actions or what we're doing as being rowdy or unorganized. And it's something funny, man. I saw this last week. It was after the national championship game. The New York Post posted an article and on what happened in Columbus, Ohio, after Ohio State won the national championship. And the headline read, "The police used tear gas on joyous, couch-burning Ohio State fans." That's the headline.
Mm-hmm.
Joyous, couch-burning. So you're burning couches, but this is acceptable. These aren't angry vigilantes. These aren't irate students. These are joyous, couch-burning fans. And it also it follows up saying fans took to the streets after Ohio State's football championship victory early Tuesday, yelling and screaming in delight, setting nearly 90 fires, and in this case, a few tearing down Ohio Stadium goalposts. I saw nothing. They said a very handful of arrests. And after doing a little bit more research on that, 10 arrests. These guys set 90 fires, but only 10 people were arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And we think about the media spin on that. That story lasted one news cycle. You know what I mean? And you look at something like that where the headline is police use tear gas on joyous couch-burning Ohio State fans as opposed to protesters in Ferguson. Before the grand jury announcement, they had already loaded up tanks. People were in full SWAT gear. They're taking military action before a grand jury announcement. And you shoot people with rubber bullets, and you get mad at them for throwing your tear gas back at them. And trust me, no one in the inner city is creating tear gas. No one is doing that. So if you throw tear gas at people, of course they're gonna throw it back at you. You shoot enough people will start shooting back. You know what I mean? It's like it's the only logical thing, but it's just funny the media spins that come out, and it's almost to the point now where it's not even funny. You know what I mean? It's more sad than anything else. You don't even take it personal sometimes. But it's really one of those situations where we have been victimized by the media. And when you think about a place like a Fox News or something like that, you can watch Fox News for 10 minutes and you will see every possible negative image possible.
Yeah, that's true. I saw a video today that was really disturbing. It was disturbing on multiple fronts because, as we know, the State of the Union address was last night, and President Barack Obama talked about how he wanted to provide free community college education for everyone in America, and obviously that's 2 years. And the folks on Fox News, for them, that instantly triggers the thought of free education for Black people. And so they were going on these tyrants about why should people receive this free education? They should have to work and this, that, and the third. And it was just absurd. And I just thought about that and how silly I was and how our image and the media can start to sway people's minds. And you know that people are listening to them and really starting to internalize those things that they talked about. I just thought that was really interesting. But what I wanted to share with you all is really interesting because some of you that know me personally may know that my background is in broadcasting, and so that's what I studied as an undergraduate student. But it wasn't really a passion of mine, but I kind of got too deep into the major, and you know how that goes. You finish it up because you pretty much have to. But I still learned a lot along the way, which was really cool. And one of the things that I learned was that, and I want to share this with you because it's really pertinent in terms of how our image is constructed by the media. So over 90% of the media is controlled by 6 companies. So let's just put that in perspective. 90% of the media, and media meaning newspapers, television, and radio, are all controlled by 6 companies. And those companies are General Electric, News Corp, Disney, Viacom, Time Warner, and CBS. So that's it. Pretty much everything that you get are coming out of those six conglomerates. One of the most interesting things of that is Clear Channel, which is a radio station that in the broadcasting world, you're only supposed to be able to own 40 radio stations. But for some reason, Clear Channel owns over 1,200 radio stations, which I think is absolutely absurd. But the twist on that is most of those radio stations are in inner city communities where they pump the same ignorant, silly type of message into our communities on a daily basis, thus creating an image of, you know, thugs, killers, ignorant, baby mama, twerking, whatever you want to call it. All of those images are manufactured by these companies. And one of the most important things that I want to share is everyone is really familiar with the OWN network that Oprah has. And you might think that Oprah owns her network or what have you. Well, that's not true. Oprah has a 50-50 venture with the Discovery Community Communications, which is a good thing because she does own part of that company. But OWN is a part of, you know, that 50-50 venture with Discovery, which is the Discovery Channel and all of their subsidiaries. But that company is owned by Time Warner. So you can still see that even though she has her own portion of, you know, a slice of the pie, so to speak, she still works under the big kahuna, so to speak. So she doesn't have the freedom to create like we think she has the freedom to create and put the messages and positive images out there like we would like to see. And I just wanted to share that with you all because it's really important to know what the structure of the media is so that we can actually think about solutions. If you know what the setup is, then you know how to attack it.
And that's a really big thing when you come to thinking about, like you mentioned, the six companies that pretty much own all of the television that we watch. And for me, the number one culprit, to me, is Viacom, man. I blame Viacom for so much. It's like they took BET and dumbed that down to a level that we can, that it's unbearable to watch. It's impossible to watch BET now. And you think about the programming, the level of programming, even people forget BET actually had news programs. BET had Teen Summit. And growing up in the 90s and early 2000s, experiencing Teen Summit, that was a positive image. That was a positive image.
Man, I love Teen Summit, man.
Black college students.
Yes.
Every week. That was a guaranteed positive image.
I love that show.
And that alone, and that network completely 86 it. I mean, I'm not the biggest Tavis Smiley fan, but they even took away Tavis Smiley. It's like, they banned Tavis Smiley.
Why you hate Tavis, man? Let Tavis live, man.
Look, he can have it. But it's like, you look at a lot of these networks, man. They broadcast and they glorify images that aren't fitting for most people. You look at MTV, they go from, what's it, teen mom, 16 and pregnant. And again, these aren't shows that show people how to be successful. These are shows that teach people, hey, man, it's okay to do things that are not okay, things that we know aren't okay. They try to make these things seem acceptable. And I'm not even, and it's just one of those things. It's like a network like Viacom. They have the ultimate platform to do so much. And they take that opportunity to kind of erode our culture. And they help create the negative images that are used to, like the images that they create are the ultimate excuse to justify the undignified response to so many things that preserve the status quo. It's like they do so many things that put us in a situation to immediately be defensive when we go places. You know what I mean? They make people feel like, oh, here comes the angry black guy.
Right.
VH1, BET, they've created the image of the angry black woman. You know what I mean? Every black woman doesn't yell when she speaks. The next don't always move. It's like those are the negative images that people have come to accept and can think of as a part of our culture, and that's just the way we communicate. No, it's not. We use our words. You know, we're very educated people for the most part, and they take that and they use that to preserve the status quo.
Right. Well, and I think I would agree with that. And I think that, you know, Time Warner is a huge, I guess Time Warner and News Corp all of them are equally, culpable. And, you know, I want to say something that Dr. Umar Johnson says all the time, though, which I firmly agree with, is, you know, white supremacy can't exist without black compliance. And the reason I say that is because these media outlets can't exist in a lot of spaces without black compliance. In CNN's case, I think about Don Lemon, which, you know, is not one of my favorite people. And I'm not here to bang on Don Lemon, but he's a prime example of that compliance. For example, if they give you a platform to go on national television to a mostly white audience and bang on our people and tell us to pull up our pants and tell us that we're doing this and we're doing that and we're the problem, and then you have the right and the opportunity to either take them up on that offer or to say, no, I'm good. Like, I'm not doing that. And at some point in time, you have to take it upon yourself to say, I'm not doing that. You know, it's not worth my soul. And you get people that, like Don Lemon, that are willing to comply and sell their soul and say, essentially, co-sign what people on Fox News or CNN that might have a negative view of us already are thinking. Exactly. And so they're essentially feeding the beast and complying with everything that, you know, white folks that have a negative view of us already feel. And I think that plays a huge role in this as well.
And when you think about the different messages that kind of come from stuff like that, like, you think about this, and I feel bad because I'm not going to follow up on Don Lemon. And it's like when you think about Don Lemon, man, you think about the stuff that he does. This guy was essentially the first African-American on a media platform in Ferguson, right? And you know what this brother does? In this, with everything going on there, he has the audacity to bring up, yo, it smells like Reese's. Who says that?
Right,
that's man. That's like, come on, man. There's so much to talk about. And
right.
Bring up, it's like Don is a clown on every level. It's like, and he's the perfect example of someone having a platform and he doesn't take advantage of it. And that kind of leads into, like, you think about the sites like Media Takeout, Worldstar Hip Hop, Vlad TV, and the platform that they have to kind of promote our culture, and they do the total opposite. And when you think about it, each one of these sites were kind of developed on promoting the hip hop culture, but instead they pretty much rose to prominence. They pretty much got validated by dumbing it down and showing every positive negative image of the black community. It's like,
right,
when you think about Worldstar, man. Worldstar used to be like a place where you can literally go and see new hip hop music before it hit YouTube. That was that's initially what it was.
Right.
And now, man, it turns into, it took twerk videos to the next level, single-handedly. It took the ignorant fighting clips. It took all that to the worst levels possible, and pretty much it gave a network like a Fox News the ammunition to blast us every day.
Man, you can go on. You can go on. Real talk, you can go on Media Takeout. Well, if you want videos, you can go on Worldstar and find enough ammunition for 2 years in one day. To paint a negative picture of us as a people. But the thing that we have to keep sight of here is the systematic way that this is set up, because You talk about Media Takeout, Worldstar, which is owned by the guy Q. He is after money, but that's the only instance, to my knowledge, where a black person actually owns these sites. You look at Vlad don't care about us. You know, I mean, let's keep it 100.
Yeah.
You know, Vlad,
yeah.
you see Vlad's videos, he's talking about his stock investments. He's talking about how he's investing his money in how he's gotten rich off of these websites which promote our pain, our poverty, our real condition that we go through on a daily basis that he has no real knowledge of, that he can't relate to. He can still walk away and have the illusion of being a white male or whatever ethnicity Vlad is. So he has no real vested interest, and that's the problem with mostly everything that we're talking about here is the people that control these outlets have no vested interest in protecting our image. So why would they care? They have no reason to care. So what do? They put the image out there. They know that people are going to watch it. Then there's a level of black, you know, compliance where we watch it. We go on there and enjoy seeing our brothers punching each other in the head or a brother slapping a woman upside the head and falling out, and then it gets, you know, 500,000 views. So there's this level of both of these things where we're, you know, they're the most responsible for setting up the system, and then we have a level of compliance by watching it. And so I think, you know, we have to get to a point to where we realize that they're setting this up to create these images of us to keep us out of the market to make money, because they can always say these people act like this, and then they continue to capitalize on it and make their money, which is a really weird dichotomy.
Yeah, and again, that just goes into these negative images and how these images kind of return into a situation where it helps create the self-hate. And the self-hate within African Americans and the pretty much the hate that other racial groups give to black people. You know,
right.
It's like that's all it really does. And when you think about it, it was really good article I read. It was by Dr. Boyce Watkins, and he was talking about it's pretty much some shows on network television, and he touched on this one new show on Fox, Empire, right? And the show Empire itself, I mean, I've never watched it. Just from hearing what people say about it, I kind of got the gist of it. And the first thing that kind of sticks with me, man, is Fox. You know what I mean? I really don't expect anything positive from Fox at all. You know what I mean? And when you think about it, it's going to pretty much perpetuate every negative stereotype of black men. You can see, you're going to see the womanizer. You're going to see the drug user. You're going to see the domestic violence. You're going to see everything that comes with it. And there was a quote in his article when he said, Empire wasn't created to entertain black people, although I'm sure it has black viewers. It is instead selling an image of blackness to a predominantly white audience that has been long fed stereotypical images about what blackness represents. These thug, gangster, hood rat images are the ones that are deeply embedded in the minds of police officers who shoot black men and observe black people at our most ratchet moments. Like, when you think about that, you know what I mean? It's like it's a situation where these are the images that people see. So you think about the woman in Idaho who's never met a black person. You know what I mean? And I saw this guy on Empire. He was just like him. Oh, man, he's going to slap me and he's going to marry my daughter. That's what they're afraid of. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like these are the images that kind of come from these kind of shows, man. When you think about these shows, the Love and Hip Hop, the Housewives shows, the Scandals, it's like they show black men at the worst to a certain extent. And they show, like, every negative image that black men can be. And it kind of creates the weakness that people see. And women start, and to a certain extent, women start feeling like, oh, man, brothers are that kind of weak all the time.
Right. And I think the thing about that is more importantly, it shows the image of dysfunctional, you know, a dysfunctional situation between the black man and the black woman. I've never seen the show, but from what I know of it, based on the previews and what I've read of what the story is about, the dysfunctional relationship between Terrence Howard and Taraji P. Henson. And then I believe one of their sons is married to a white woman, which is, you know, essentially one of those situations where it's continuously feeding that stereotype that our women aren't worthy of us marrying. And continuing down that line where, you know, black men are always looking to marry white women. And I think that's a part of what Boyce Watkins is getting at as well. What I would propose as a solution for these types of situations, as you all know, TNJ Radio is solution-based radio. And as we talk about the issues, we'll definitely provide some solutions that we think you can institute right now. And my word for the night in terms of black folks in the media is discipline. And the reason I say discipline is because when it comes to the bulk of the media, the things that we can control, we can't control to a large extent what CNN does. But what we can control is Vlad TV, Media Takeout, World Star Hip Hop, and Empire, Real Housewives of Atlanta and every other city. We can be disciplined and we can not support it. As difficult as it is to not wake up and go click and see whether Nicki Minaj's butt is fake or whatever the situation might be, we have to be disciplined enough to not go support those websites. When their clicks go down, when they lose viewership, then they know that they have to start changing up what they're doing. I stopped visiting those sites about 2 or 3 years ago, actually way longer than that. Now that I think about it, probably about 4 years ago, I stopped going on Media Takeout, World Star, and all those sites, and I haven't been back since. And so I think the main thing we can do is be disciplined and not support them. What about you, Jay?
First thing that comes to my head, man, it was a Malcolm X quote. The media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and make the guilty innocent. And that's power because they control the minds of the masses. And we just take that in, man. You want to kind of breathe on that and think about what Malcolm was really saying. Hey, we're responsible for what we take in. And we have the option to not watch those shows. And the thing is with media, the ultimate solution to kind of getting away from this media and getting more positive images of our culture is to create our own. It's like we have with things like YouTube, pretty much everything on the internet, we can upload positive images. We could promote positivity. And it's like if you go to YouTube, man, you can Google a lot of stuff and you can learn so much more about your culture and you can learn so much more about just history and just things that you care about. And because there's so much more to us than twerking, you know what I mean? There's so much more to us than just that. There's so much more to us than just fighting. And we have to learn how to find the programming that works for us and also using our education to and the outlets that we have, because keep in mind, everything is internet-based now. We can create our own images. Like, you can go to any, you can upload a YouTube video, you can upload videos to, there's like a million different sites. And there's a million different blog sites. You go to a lot of different things to find entertainment that works for you. So just try a little bit harder and don't go to the common website. Just look a little bit harder on the web, you'll find positive images. And once we do that and we maintain that level of discipline, that'll start affecting the money and the advertising dollars that are spent on that kind of program.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. It all comes down to discipline. I think you said it very well. I would like to, you know, offer this to everybody out there, and hopefully, you know, we all agree upon this. It's up to us. You know, we set the tone. We set the tone for what is given to us by whether we respond to it, whether we watch it or not, and dare to be different. Dare to be the one in your circle to not watch these shows. Dare to be the one to tell a friend or a family member, you know, let's not watch The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Let's not watch videos on Vlad TV. Let's not support, you know, Media Takeout. Let's move on. Our people deserve better and need better. And with that being said, we really appreciate you all tuning in to TNJ Radio, solution-based radio. We'll check you out next week, same time, 6:30 p.m. Thanks a lot. Have a wonderful evening, my brothers and sisters. Take care.